This is AgriPulse Daybreak West for Thursday, March 26th. Good morning, I'm Jeff Daly. Here's today's headlines. Certified seals for non-UPFs. Newsom drops drought emergency. Pesticides linked to baby health, and Navarro promises a 15% tariff. California lawmakers are advancing the first-in-the-nation effort to label foods that are not ultra-processed, aiming to give consumers a clearer signal in grocery aisles. Assemblymember Jesse Gabrielle of Encino yesterday unveiled AB 2244, which would establish a voluntary California-certified seal for products that meet state standards for not being ultra-processed. The bill would also require large grocery stores to prominently display those products in high-traffic areas. Parents shouldn't need a Ph.D. in chemistry to understand what they're feeding their kids, Gabrielle said, framing the proposal as a transparency measure modeled after the USDA organic label. The measure builds on Gabrielle's years-long push to regulate food ingredients, including last year's law establishing a statutory definition of ultra-processed foods and restricting them in schools. At a press conference, Gabrielle said the bill is designed to, quote, empower consumers with transparency so they can make healthier and better informed choices. The Environmental Working Group and other supporters argue the label would push manufacturers to reformulate products to qualify for the seal. Citing improved conditions, Governor Gavin Newsom quietly terminated several long-standing emergency declarations yesterday. That includes the 2021 drought emergency covering the Klamath Basin. The new proclamation states that the conditions of extreme peril underlying those emergencies no longer exist, ending associated executive order provisions effective immediately. For years, pleas by local leaders and farmers to lift the drought declaration went unanswered. The emergency authorities had enabled regulatory flexibility and expedited water management actions during the drought. The declaration has underpinned the state's water board decision to readopt emergency regulations every year, restricting agriculture diversions from the Scott and Shasta rivers. Newsom's decision comes 2 weeks after board staff drafted a minimum flow standard for the watersheds, establishing the basis for a permanent regulation to go before the board in the months ahead. In January, the U.S. Drought Monitor announced that California was drought-free for the first time in 25 years. Yet the state is, quote, rapidly drying out once again under an extended heat wave. It's bumped temperatures as high as 30 degrees above average in some regions. A new peer-reviewed study co-authored by researchers at UCLA finds that women's exposure to agriculture pesticides even before pregnancy may be linked to poor infant health outcomes. The study analyzed Arizona birth records alongside detailed pesticide use data. Researchers found that exposure during the preconception period to commonly used pesticides, including organophosphates, pyrethroids, and carbamates, was associated with lower Apgar scores, a standard measure of newborn health taken shortly after birth. Low Apgar scores are correlated with long-term developmental outcomes, raising concerns about early life impacts. The study is observational and does not prove causation, but highlights the pre-pregnancy period as a potentially critical window for environmental exposure. Researchers say further work will examine whether the link extends to childhood neurodevelopmental disorders. Top White House trade advisor Peter Navarro says that the administration is still planning to raise its global tariff to 15%. President Donald Trump said last month that the duty, now at 10%, would rise, but he has yet to implement a hike. It's going to be 15, Navarro said during an event hosted by Politico yesterday. It's in process to happen. The administration is using multiple tools to replicate the tariff struck down by the Supreme Court, Navarro said, including unfair trade probes and sector-specific national security tariffs. Some analysts have warned that if unfair trade investigations recommend tariff rates identical to the emergency tariff struck down, the probes may appear predetermined and vulnerable to legal challenge. Navarro addressed the issue yesterday, stressing nothing's predetermined. It's all about the negotiation, he added. European Parliament expected to vote today to ratify U.S.-EU trade pact agreed last summer amid fierce U.S. pressure. The legislature delayed the ratification over Trump's threats earlier this year to use tariffs to advance his goal of acquiring Greenland. The deal likely has sufficient support to clear Parliament, after which member states will weigh in through the European Council in the final step of the approval process. There's no set timeline for that vote. U.S. Ambassador to European Union Andrew Pudzner has been vocal in articulating what is at stake should the agreement falter. In an interview with Bloomberg this week, he warned that the EU would hit with the increased tariffs if it failed to ratify the deal. For us, nothing changes. The EU completed a free trade deal with Australia this week. It was 10 years in the making. Comes on the heels of a new agreement with India and Mercosur countries as the bloc responding to higher U.S. tariffs by strengthening trade ties with partners. Groups that were due to receive around $300 million in federal funding to help farmers purchase land, they're protesting USDA's decision to cancel their contracts. The department says it needs, quote, to clean up the mess left for us by the last administration. A USDA spokesperson said the statement that projects under increasing land, capital, and market access program had multi-million dollar budgets with vague justifications such as travel and supplies. All but one of 50 projects under the program set up by the 2021 America Rescue Plan Act received termination notices. In a news release, the group said those notices, quote, claim that most of the awards did little to improve land access and that there was excessive spending on outreach and technical assistance. They also said the program, quote, involved discriminatory preferences based on diversity, equity, and inclusion, and wasteful spending, according to a cancellation letter shared with Politico, which first reported on the cancellations. The group said USDA leadership had already spent more than a year systematically undermining the program, freezing funding, cutting off communication with awardees, and withholding the approvals guarantee needed to move forward with land acquisitions, farmland down payments, and low-interest loans and other core project activities. The Surface Transportation Board is proposing to reform its permitting process for rail infrastructure projects now that the Supreme Court has weighed in on how much detail reviews need under the National Environmental Policy Act. The board on Tuesday issued a proposal that would expand categorical exclusions from NEPA for certain actions it sees as having a limited environmental impact. The proposal also would update information requirements, require earlier agency consultations, and adjust deadlines and page limits for documents. The Supreme Court last year ruled that NEPA analysis only need to include direct impacts of the projects under review rather than upstream or downstream impacts. That case involved the board's review of an 88-mile rail line in Utah. Here's today's final word. While we debate about whether the science is good enough, ultra-processed foods are killing roughly 1,400 Americans each day. That TV host and health advocate Maria Menounos, who learned on modeling studies, not actual counts, for a loose estimate of deaths as she made the case to reporters for AB 2244. Well, that's Daybreak West for this Thursday, March 26th. For the latest news out of Washington, D.C., visit AgriPulse.com. For AgriPulse Daybreak West, I'm Jeff Daly.